There are 8 million stories in the Naked City. Book critic Maureen Corrigan looks at three of the best new ones.
It seems like every month brings a fresh spate of books about New York, but three new ones distinguish themselves from the crowd because in their pages you can hear echoes of the voices of legendary walkers in the city. The crucial difference is that these contemporary writers stroll to places Edgar Allan Poe, Walt Whitman, and Alfred Kazin never could have anticipated. Midtown Manhattan spandex gyms, outer borough tract houses crammed with illegal immigrant workers, and that most unimaginable of New York sites, Ground Zero. Kyle Smith's novel, Love Monkey, is being hailed as New York's answer to British author Nick Hornby's bestseller, High Fidelity. In other words, a guy novel, or as this genre has recently been christened, lad lit. Give me a break. We've had 2,000 years of canonical lad lit. Life as rendered in writing from a male point of view is the oldest trick in the book. No, in fact, what's hippest about Love Monkey, and I expect its chest-thumping guy supporters to shudder at this analogy, is the deft way it resurrects and updates the Dorothy Parker style of talking about New York. Brittle, shrewd, self-deprecating, and oh so very witty. The anti-hero of Love Monkey is a 32-year-old self-dubbed man-boy named Tom Farrell, who works at a New York newspaper called The Tabloid. Its motto is America's Loudest Newspaper. The novel charts Tom's attempt to win the heart of a beautiful co-worker named Julia. But that plot is really just an excuse that allows Tom to generate nonstop, scathing observations about 21st century life in New York. A place where his trust fund buddy can send back the water at a restaurant because it's the wrong brand. Tom's ruthless humor knows no bounds. He describes the natives of a trendy neighborhood of Brooklyn this way. Boho heaven, PhD waitresses, the feminists that time forgot, faithful parishioners at the Church of Irony. All those newspaper articles written by imported car-buying white people about how much they hate oppressive, genocidal, imperialist, globalist white people, they're written here. September 11th sobers up Tom, of course, but even then he cracks that, "The day has come when I've started to understand the point of New Jersey." Ultimately, it's the characteristic New York cure-all of work, not love, that soothes Tom's stunned psyche. Work is also the New York subject that preoccupies New York Times reporter Charlie LaDuff in his superb collection of 8 years' worth of columns from that paper called, appropriately, Work and Other Sins. This is not a book about the people who have doormen, but a book about doormen, growls LaDuff in his introduction. And in those words, you can hear strains of the late Joseph Mitchell and the very much living Pete Hamill, other bards of blue-collar New York. Like them, LaDuff tries to keep a lid on sentimentality, but his admiration for the nobodies who keep the glamorous city running shines through. Some of the workers he writes about have exotic jobs, like the guy who has to change the light bulbs at the pinnacle of the Empire State Building. Others toil, like the Polish women who clean houses for ultra-Orthodox Jews in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, or the gravediggers in Flushing, Queens, who look forward to having a few beers after work, joking that, after a long day of putting cold ones in the ground, you look forward to putting a few cold ones down. LaDuff's columns on the workers at Ground Zero are, so far, the best writing on New York at that awful moment in its history that I've read. He's restrained but awestruck, saying of the thousands of men and women who rushed to Ground Zero on the morning of September 11th that they were just good people raised by good people, and they answered the call. He calls these rescue workers not heroes, but substantial men and women, and in LaDuff, they've found their fit chronicler. Poet Philip Lopate takes a very particular kind of walking tour around Manhattan. Like Walt Whitman and Herman Melville before him, he hugs the shoreline. In his just-published book, Waterfront, Lopate tries to account for New York's specialness by understanding its geography. He circles the rim of the island, from Castle Garden to the Brooklyn Bridge and East Harlem. Unlike Smith and LaDuff, Lopate also wanders back in time as he walks the waterfront and thinks about the history and literature of the city, as well as his own memories. The tone of his hypnotic book is melancholy, but leavened with dry New York humor. About the Twin Towers, he comments, they were at once the most dominant and least assuming facet of the New York skyline. Don't mind me, they said. He adds that no New Yorker expected America's warm feelings towards the city to last very long. It was like getting licked by a large, forgetful St. Bernard dog. Sure, that's an arrogant comment. Also so smart, so funny, so New York. Hey, you either love it or hate it.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Love Monkey by Kyle Smith, Work and Other Sins, Life in New York City and Thereabouts by Charlie LaDuff, and Waterfront, A Journey Around Manhattan by Philip Lopate.